Okay, good morning. We are in Reish Pei Dalet. Shir sponsored for a Fua Shlema for Ben Sion Ruben Ben Shendel. Reish Pei Dalet Bet. Im Chal Rosh Chodesh B'Shabbat. Ein Amaftir Maskir Shal Rosh Chodesh Chal. So, when it gets to the Haftarah, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all. Right, we don't. If Matzah Minag, when it's Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos. Why? Because the only reason why you're saying the Haftarah is because of Shabbos. That's the only reason. If there's no Haftarah for Rosh Chodesh, so you don't mention it at all. V'yesh omrim, sh'afal p'sheinu mazkir b'chatim ma'ashal Rosh Chodesh. There's another opinion that says even though we don't mention it when we say Baruch Atah Hashem at the end, right, mechadesh chodeshim, you wouldn't say that. But mazkirinu tovotach ha'bracha. But you do mention it, derech agav, in the middle of the long part of the bracha, sh'omer, et yom ha-manoach hazeh for Shabbos, v'et yom ha-shchodesh hazeh, that you add that part in. V'minak yisvara harishona. But that's not the minak, it's like the first, what we mentioned first. Okay. Gimel. Tzarech l'chaven l'birkot ha-korim b'torah l'birkot ha-maftir v'yaneh achareyem amen. The people, the whole tzibur should listen to the brachot. Listen and answer amen. What's so important? V'ya'alu lo l'hashlim minyan me'a brachot shechaser minyanam b'shabbat. Because we know every day we want to say 100 brachot. And on Shabbos we're missing because there's Shemana Esrei is only seven brachot instead of 19. So you want to try and chop rain as much as you can of the mayor of extra brachot you take from other people. You can listen. Any bracha that you listen to and you say amen can count. Now, do you have to say amen bedafka or just listening is enough? So generally we say shomea ka'ona. So it is a big discussion. Madani Yom Tov on the Rosh, where it's the source of this is, it says, it's lav dafka, you do not need to say amen. You're yotze just by listening, but some want to say that actually it makes a difference. Prima Gadim comes up with a whole little differentiation that since you're not using it to be yotze the mitzvah, you're not getting any actual usage out of the bracha. You have to say amen to be as if you actually said it to count from your brachot. But we know, let's say by eating, maybe you don't need to say amen because you're eating. Anyways, different opinions. Do you have to say amen or not for it to count? But in general, you are yotze anytime you need to be yotze for shomea ka'ona, even without answering amen, as long as you listen and you have a mind to be yotze. Both of you really need to have a mind to be yotze. Okay. Just Mishnah Berurah once again points out that that you don't answer amen in the middle of a bracha arucha, a very long bracha. You don't answer amen in the middle. So. Examples after ha-ne'emarim be'emet and after emet v'tzedek in the Birkas Haftarah, we don't answer amen because that's in the middle of a bracha.
So it goes by one bracha.
What?
To the 100 brachot.
Yeah, if you answer amen or just listen, perhaps it does count.
For one or for four?
No, for each bracha counts. Ah. So if the here you can get a whole bunch of them, seven from the maftir, and everybody else you get a couple. Okay, gimel. Dalit. Katan yachol lahaftir. The halacha is, a katan is allowed to do the haftarah. He's allowed to get maftir, he's allowed to lean, and he's allowed to get read the haftarah. That's the ikar halacha. The general minag by Ashkenazim is not to, but that is the ikar halacha. Hagav, im karu lamaftir mishe'en yodea lomar haftarah. Now this really can be whether it's a gadol or a katan. But anyways, a person you call up to do a maftir, he gets the maftir, he lanes the aliyah, but then you realize, wait a sec, this guy doesn't know, can't do the haftarah. I don't know, he can't say the bracha, he can't read the psukim, really, that's what it's usually talking about. Yachol achel omra, someone else can do it. Aval lechatchila asur la'asot kein. So lechatchila, whoever reads, whoever gets the aliyah maftir should do the haftarah, but it doesn't have to be. If there's any reason not to, like you realize the guy can't do it for whatever reason. Okay, now, Lamaisa nowadays, shuls have a couple little different minhagim how to deal with it, because often it's normal to have a person, it depends, you're reading from a klaf, often you have a baal kore who's reading the psukim, and someone else says the brachot. So this could also be done, but whoever says the brachot should certainly read along himself quietly, if not. Okay? Im nishtatek ha-maftir b'emtza haftarah. If in the middle of reading the haftarah, the guy is reading the psukim, the navi, and then all of a sudden he loses his voice and he can't continue anymore. So what happens? So you get a replacement. You get someone else to start reading. And generally, I think the custom is we do not say a new bracha rishona. We had this before in Hilchas Birchas Hatara, and that's the general practice. He just continues. But where? Does he continue where he left off or from the beginning? So habala saima loyatcha imakum shepasak harishon. So when you get a replacement in the middle of an aliyah, or here in the middle of the haftarah, you don't. The second guy who comes up doesn't start reading the psukim from the middle, from where he left off. So you go back just like you start reading from the beginning of the aliyah. Here too, you start all over the psukim from the beginning of the haftarah. Haga, ushnayim lo yomru haftarah b'pam achat, and two people should not be reading the haftarah out loud at the same time. The trei kalila mishtamai, because it says in the Gemara, you don't have two people say at the same time kriyas haftarah or the haftarah, because it's hard to concentrate and then you end up hearing nothing. This week is Purim, so it's exact different halacha when it comes to Purim. When it comes to reading the Megillah or Hallel, you can have even a filo mea, even 100 people reading. That's not a problem. Okay, let's go on. Okay, Vav. Ein hamaftir maftir at shigemor hagolel iglol hasefer Torah. So a maftir doesn't start the haftorah reading until after whoever's doing glila rolls it up and finishes with the basic glila, or at least maybe putting on the mitpachat over it. Depends what kind of sefer Torah you have. So at least cover it up with the initial mitpachat, the Torah cloth or the case, and then you're good to go. Then you can start reading. The Mishnah Berurah says the main reason is because whoever's doing the glila also wants to listen word for word. So you have to give him a chance to finish. Okay, so this way he can also listen. Okay, Zayin, and read along. Zayin, b'Shabbat sheParshiot mechubarot, when you have two parshiot that are together, a double parsha we call it, maftirin b'haftarah parsha shniya. So you do the haftarah, the general rule is you read the haftarah after the second haftarah, the second parsha. Because the haftarah generally follows the maftir. Okay? Fine, we'll get to later. So here the Ramah goes on a little tangent, because where else is he going to put it? So this is right after Kriyas HaTorah, before Ashrei. This is for Menachem Ashkenaz, and for the most part what he's going to say, but not only. V'nagu lahazkir achar Kriyas HaTorah nishmat hameitim. Now is the time to do hashkava, or haskara for the neshamat, the deceased. And then you say a bracha for those who are oskim for the tzibor, working hard for the tzibor. Kol makom lefi minhago, whatever the custom is, now's the time to say whatever all the actual tefillos you're going to put in. V'nohagin lomar yekum purkan, and there's of course the custom to say yekum purkan. V'ein bazem yishum iser techina b'shabbos, no problem of asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu. For things, we're not crying, we're not over excessive here. V'gam kein nohagim lomar av harachamim. Now is also the place to say av harachamim. V'b'chol yom she'en omrim bo tzidkatcha v'tzidkatcha tzidkatcha v'tzidkatcha tzidkatcha en omrim oto. And whenever we don't have the custom to say tzidkatcha, then this is the time not to say. That's when we don't say av harachamim. V'chen kishyesh chatuna or mila, or if there's also you're celebrating for a chasana or for a mila, then we skip avarachamim.
The whole week ahead.
What was this? I'm not sure. Maybe it's an afrof. Probably for the afrof, no?
I don't think the afrof. I don't think it's the chasin who's just got married, who's the third thing, a shevet,
uh-huh. Actually, I don't know.
Not even not to say tachman, either when he's in the show and so on and so forth.
The whole week?
Yeah, I don't.
Some just have one day.
Right,
so Shabbat Chatan.
They're married, so there's some
right.
But by the Ashkenazim, an afof is, as they say in Yiddish, gunish vet. It's not worth anything. He's got to be a chasim chasim realm.
I see. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Svarim don't have avrachamim. But,
Svarim say you can work him?
No,
no,
I prefer
Kanida. Okay, it's all really for Ashkenazim, they say.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Vegamkinoagis, he says, but then he says, Vayesh Makomot she'enor mimotokish mevarchim achodesh. And whenever you do mevarchim achodesh, I think that's the most prevalent minhag, but again, every place is, we'll see, go according to your own minhag. So for Rosh Chodesh, mevarchim, so many don't say it. Umilvad yimei asfira. Except when it's during the days of sfira, for those 50 days, because it was more, more of a dangerous time for Klal Yisrael. Okay, v'hochin b'chol zeh achar minag. Now really, it really depends on the minag of the show, so that's really, every place has its own minhagim. We briefly mentioned, but Mishnah points out, this is, you want to say all these things before Ashrei. Because once you get to Ashrei, ideally, there shouldn't be a much of a hefsek. I know there are many shows that the Rav speaks then. But ideally, there shouldn't be a hefsek between Ashrei and between Musaf. Because there's only one Kaddish. And that Kaddish serves both purposes. One is to be said after Psukim, and that's your Ashrei. And then it's supposed to be an intro to the next tefillah of Musaf. We always want to have a Kaddish after Psukim and as an intro to the next tefillah. So it's ideal not to have a separation. So the shuls do different things to try and avoid that, but that is obviously a popular minhag. But they also say Psukim. Those are also other Psukim after Ashrei too. So anyway. Okay, let's go to Resh Pei Hei. We call Parsha Shnayim Merkav ve'Echad Targum. Just point out, the Levush says, he points out from the Parsha of Shmot, I'm not exactly sure what's the significance, but it says, Ve'ele Shmot B'nei Yisrael. So Ve'ele V'chayav Adam, Likro to Parsha, Shmot, the Shnayim Merkav ve'Echad Targum, B'nei Yisrael, the all of Klal Yisrael are Chayav. Except for the women, though, anyway. Shmot's a new chance for people who got lazy to get back into it. But, okay. Chazal say it's very important to do Shnayim Recha Vecha Targum. And whoever does it every week, Marichino Yamav Ushnotav. He gets a long life. It's a bracha from Chazal. So if you believe in Chazal, you'll take this seriously. Okay. Interesting to point out. I'm not sure how he knows. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the minhag of the halacha, the din of Shnayim Recha Vecha Targum, was actually established by none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said there's going to be, we have to read the Torah every week without having 3 days of break, right? Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning. So then at the same time, he was mitaken that we should all read Shnayim Recha Vecha Targum. Interesting. Where did Targum come from? Was there a Targum from Unculus? So the Gemara, so the Tanchuma says in Parshas Kitisa, the end of Parshas Kitisa, which is this week's Parsha 2, it's interesting, at Purim and Kitisa this week, it says Al Pi Advarim, this is the Ktav Al Pi Advarim. So the Tanchuma says Al Pi Advarim refers to Targum. Targum was given at Har Sinai. The Torah was given both Balashan HaKodesh and in Aramaic. Why Aramaic? That was the Jewish language, apparently. It may have been even more prevalent than, it was probably more prevalent than Hebrew, perhaps.
Certainly in most places, other than
usual. Right, so when everyone says, Lo Shinu et Lashonam, we all assume that means Hebrew, right? It could be, it refers to Aramaic. You just didn't take upon Egyptian. Why would the Jews speak in Aramaic? Because all their mothers spoke Aramaic. They come from Levan Arami. The whole Klal Yisrael comes from Jewish mothers who were all speaking Arami that was their mother tongue per se. So I don't know when that switched over, but so that's why it was given. It was given also in Aramaic. So where does Unculus come in? Why is it called Targum Unculus? So you mentioned. Well, the Beis Yosef and Rashi also mention it comes from Har Sinai. The Gemara, I don't think, says it comes from Har Sinai. The Gemara says it was forgotten, and because they know it was said by Ezra. In Ezra Nehemiah Chet, it says that they brought all the Jews together, and people didn't know the Chumash. They couldn't even read the words. So they had the Levim read the whole Torah, and it says Meforash. Chazal explained that means with the Targum.
Quick interjection: they couldn't read the words because it was Ksav Ivri, not Ksav Shuri. Ah.
Right, so there's a whole. So Ezra was talking. Just if you can't hear, Ezra was talking Ksav Ashuri. Was the Torah given in Ashuri Ivri? That's a whole machlokas. But either way, at the time, so that's another thing. But either way, the Jews living in Egypt in Israel were very unfamiliar with the psukim and with the mitzvot in general. Unfortunately, so I did see in one of the art scroll books on Targum, they write that they think it was established to have the Meturgaman read. When we lean, we have the Torah and then Targum. Torah, Targum. That was the old custom.
Some of the Yemenites still
doing that. So, I don't know about all of them do, but anyways, we'll okay. Find out. So anyways, the point is, they feel that the minhag started from Ezra. Now I don't know if that fits so well with the Gemara Megillah, which you pointed out, because the Gemara says, why is it called Targum Unculus? Because the Jews forgot it. The Torah was given in Aramaic, but then the Jews forgot the Aramaic. So Unculus learned it from his Rebbeim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and he made it popular. Probably he wrote it down also. He taught it and he probably wrote it down, and that's when it became known as Targum Unculus.
The legend says that when we went to write Targum on Novi, a Basco came out and said...
That was Yonatan Ben Azia you're referring to. Anyways, that's the Navi. The world was shook. They didn't want him to... Well, that was for Ketuvim. They wanted him to do Navi. They didn't want him to do Ketuvim. Because of the Kates. They didn't want the Kates to be revealed. Kates of Mashiach. Okay, so back to Resh Pei Hei. I think... enough for our intro. Okay. Aleph. Alpha Bisha Adam Shamiya Kola Torah Kola Kola Shabbat B'tzibur. Even though we listen to the Shaliach Tzibur, the Baal Korei read every Shabbos morning, separate to that, Chayav Likrod La'atzmo B'kol Shavua Parashat Oto HaShavua. That week. Ideally, it should be during that week, not the week before, not the week after. That's ideal. That's the way it should be done. So then you're supposed to read each pasuk twice, and Shnayim Mikra, and the Echad Targum. And the Targum you read once. Afilo Atrad V'Divon, even a pasuk that doesn't have Targum Unkolas. Now there is a Targum Yerushalmi, so the discussion, should you read that, what do you do with that extra, with that pasuk, where there is no Targum Unkolas? You either can read Targum Yerushalmi, or you read that pasuk a third time. That's the two main... Okay, just interesting. From before the Haftarah. Why is it Lashon Maftir Haftarah? Why is that Lashon of Haftarah? Where does that come from? You know the word, like we have by Maftirin Pesach Achar Afikomen. Why don't we have, what is the Lashon of Haftarah or Maftir? Because when two people, it means when you save something or something that's done at the end. That's really what it means. It's basically the literal translation. Where does it come from? So I heard from Rav Weiner, perhaps because Milashon Niftaru Zemizeh. When two people are by each other, when they leave, you say Niftaru from Zemizeh. So there's a Lashon, I don't know which came first, but you see that when people leave at the end, then it's, anyway, that's where the Lashon comes from. Okay. Now, as far as how to do it. So there are different opinions what you should do, how to do Shnayim Rekha Vecha Targum. And really, there is no rule. You could do the whole Parsha, what we call a Parsha. It could be what the whole Parsha, Stuma and Petucha, each little paragraph. Or you could do Pasuk by Pasuk. Right? You read the Pasuk twice, and then you do Targum. And really, whichever one you do, they're all acceptable. Whichever works better for you is probably best. But there are some who prefer one over the other. Okay. There's also some say, if you can do it with the Sefer Torah, that's even better, assuming you know how to read it. And just point out the Te'amim, it's nice to do it with the Te'amim, but it's not Me'akev. Okay. Let's see. Bet. I think we'll go on a bit more. Bet. Im lamara parsha beferush Rashi chashuv kumo targum. So he points out over here, if you do perush Rashi, it's the same, just as good like doing targum onkelos. Yerei shamayim yikra targum begam perush Rashi. Yerei shamayim will do both. Why? Because they both have pluses and pluses. Advantage of targum is it was given at Har Sinai. It's the established translation and accepted. But it's more. It's from Har Sinai too, and it tells you the perush of the milim, so you understand what's going on. Rashi is great because he has a lot of extra pshatim to understand from midrashim, but then again, he doesn't translate most of the pesukim either. So if you can do both, that's ideal. Many point out, I won't say it's 100% without machloket, but many say you can use any translation. But as long as the translation does more than just a literal translation. You don't want a straight, literal, I don't know, Sensino category, if that qualifies or not. I don't want to say anything negative about a translation, but you don't want to have something that just gives a straight literal translation and you don't really know what's going on, or it doesn't really follow the translation of Chazal. So if you have a translation that's equal or better than Onkelos, so then that should be okay. So many say a translation like the Living Torah or Art Scroll is 100% good. Again, different opinions if which is lachatchila, but also depends on the person who we're talking about. There's a famous one in Hebrew that's been put under cherem. I don't want to get all into it, but anyway, you want to use a translation that's at least as good as Targum.
Is that famous?
Yeah. So we can talk about it after. But one of my sons tells me that in America, Onkelos is really Uncle Lewis. Just wanted to get that out there. A little cute. I just want to point out something interesting. Just as one quick example that I... It's in Onkelos itself, but Art School pointed it out for me. So thank you very much. That when it says Vechibes in Vayikra, just to get an idea, Vayikra, Yud Gimel, Nun Chet. So it says Vechibes, Vechibes twice. Right? So we usually think as what is Vechibes? To wash it, right? So it actually says it twice in the Pasuk, and it means two different things. The first time it means to wash it. So in Onkelos it says Yitchavar. And I saw an Art Scroll in the Living Torah. One says wash, one says scrub. But then when it says it the second time, it doesn't say to wash. It translates it as itztaba. Because there, it means to immerse, or to put in the mikvah. So just pointing out that a straight literal translation, you'll miss it. So it's not as good. But it's not like they're explaining every pasuk perfectly according to most of Targum Onkelos is a straight translation. It wouldn't be an anti-Chazal translation, but most of it is a straight translation. But it has some good points to it. So you want to be at least on that level. One example is Bein Einecha. So we know Bein Einecha as being not directly between your eyeballs, but above your eye, your hairline, but corresponding to between your eyes. But they don't mean, you know. But the translations Targum, Art Scroll, Living Torah, they don't reference that. They just say between your eyes. Veruach Elokim. Here, Onkelos says, you might think it's going to be a divine spirit, right? So that's what Living Torah and Art Scroll does. But really, Onkelos says it's a ruach from before Hashem. So I don't know. You probably would translate that as a wind that comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what Living Torah says on the bottom. It's God's wind. Right. So there's different.
Different ways
Ruach can go. 100% different way. So I'm just pointing out that even Targum Onkelos is not some you see words of Chazal in there and some you don't. Okay, we have a little bit more, just a little bit more time. Gimel, right? Miyom Rishon Ve'elech Hashuv Im Hatzibor. Starting from Sunday morning, it's called Im Hatzibor. So that's when you should start. Some take that literal. Some say you can start already from Shabbos Mincha because that's when we start laying the new parsha. Again, it's ideal to do it in that week, but doesn't mean it has to only be in that week. Okay? Dalit. Mitzvah min amukha shashim with a kodem shiyochal b'shabbos. The best time to finish it is before you eat Friday night. I think so. But the truth is, I'm not sure. He says at night. But you could also do it before you eat in the morning. But you shouldn't go beyond chatzos just because you didn't eat. Mishnah Berurah points out. Even if you're running late, you don't want to start your meal after chatzos. Just do it after your meal. But it sounds from here maybe it's Shabbos morning, but okay. Either way, many also say it's better to finish it Erev Shabbos. But anyways, there's no 100% rules here. As long as it's the most important thing is that it's done before Shabbos morning is really the best. Before you lean. Anyways, but you have up until Mincha. And that's another level, and that's very good. V'yesh omrim ad revi'i b'Shabbos. Now, if you want to stretch it, some say you have until Wednesday, but the first 3 days of the week goes to the previous Shabbos, and the next goes to the next Shabbos. V'yesh omrim ad Shmini Atzeres, and some say you really have up until Shmini Atzeres, which is also Simchas Torah. And Chutzar to get an extra day. D'hainu b'Simchas Torah, sh'az mashlimim hatzibur, but that's when we finish reading. Hey, yachol yikot ha'parsha shnei merkel avecha. Targum b'sh'at kriyat ha'Torah. You could even read it while the guy is leaning. While the Baal Kuri is doing his leaning, you can do your own Shnayim Mikra during the same time and not pay attention. That is the halacha according to the Moran Shulchan Aruch. It's very clear. He says that we learned this before as well. But some say not so simple. Really, you should not do it that time. You should only listen. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham with a little bit of a pshara, a shita in between. That if lechatchila you can do it word for word, but very quietly, so that nobody else hears you, and that's another way to save yourself some time. Vav malam leitinakot ein tzrichim lachzor v'likot parsha b'Shabbos. If in cheder you're teaching the kids the whole parsha with the proper explanation, you do not need to do your own shnayim mikra v'chatargum as you just did it with the kids. They point out that many times though you're not doing Targum or Rashi, you're just explaining it a little bit. So then you should do your own. If you say the Psukim twice, then at least say the Targum yourself. So it depends whatever you do. If you say each Pasuk twice, if you say a full explanation, you know, depending whatever you do, the point is, whatever you do in school, in Cheder, you don't have to do it again for yourself if you already did it. Same thing if you're preparing Leining. Obviously, preparing Leining counts as twice. Ein tzarich likrot parshat Yom Tov, and you don't have to do Yom Tov, right? Because you only have to do the whole Torah once. Yom Tov is just a repeat from what you already did during the Seder of the year. V'chein ein tzarich likrot haftarah. You don't have to do the haftarah. That's not part of the takana. Never was. U'bikom na'agul likros haftarah. But there are many who do read from the haftarah. U'bishabbat shal chatunah yikra haftarah shal Shabbos v'lo sos asis. And then whenever you read, when it just visits a Shabbat Chatan, you don't change the Haftarah just because there's a Chasan or a Mila. You do whatever the Minag is based on the Parsha. And some point out, when should you do Zos HaBracha? What's the best time? So they say Hoshana Rabbah. Again, Lav Dafka, but that is what's given. Okay? A wrap for today.